he mounted his broomstick and kicked at the ground, soaring up into the air. The cool morning air whipped his face, waking him far more effectively than Wood's long talk. It felt wonderful to be back on the Quidditch pitch. He soared right around the stadium at full speed, racing Fred and George. "What's that funny clicking noise?" called Fred as they hurtled around the corner. Harry looked into the stands. Colin was sitting in one of the highest seats, his camera raised, taking picture after picture, the sound strangely magnified in the deserted stadium.
"Look this way, Harry! This way!" he cried shrilly.
"Who's that?" said Fred. "No idea," Harry lied, putting on a spurt of speed that took him as far away as possible from Colin. "What's going on?" said Wood, frowning as he skimmed through the air towards them. "Why is that first year taking pictures? I don't like it. He could be a Slytherin spy, trying to find out about our new training program."
"He's in Gryffindor," said Harry, quickly.
"And the Slytherins don't need a spy, Oliver," said George. "What makes you say that?" said Wood, testily. "Because they're here in person," said George, pointing. Several people in green robes were walking onto the pitch, broomsticks in their hands. "I don't believe it," Wood hissed in outrage. "I booked the pitch for today. We'll see about this." Wood shot towards the ground, landing rather harder than he meant to in his anger, staggering slightly as he dismounted. Harry, Fred, and George followed.
"Flint!" Wood bellowed at the Slytherin captain. "This is our practice time. We got up specially. You can clear off now."
Marcus Flint was even larger than Wood. He had a look of trollish cunning on his face as he replied,
"Plenty of room for all of us, Wood."
Angelina, Alicia, and Katie had come over too. There were no girls on the Slytherin team, who stood shoulder to shoulder, facing the Gryffindors, leering to a man.
"But I booked the pitch," said Wood, positively spitting with rage. "I booked it."
"Ah," said Flint, "but I've got a specially signed note here from Professor Snape. I, Professor S. Snape, give the Slytherin team permission to practice today on the Quidditch pitch, owing to the need to train their new seeker."
"You've got a new seeker?" said Wood, distracted. "Where?"
And from behind the six large figures before them came a seventh, smaller boy, smirking all over his pale, pointed face. It was Draco Malfoy.
"Aren't you Lucius Malfoy's son?" said Fred, looking at Malfoy with dislike.
"Funny you should mention Draco's father," said Flint, as the whole Slytherin team smiled still more broadly. "Let me show you the generous gift he's made to the Slytherin team."
All seven of them held out their broomsticks. Seven highly polished, brand-new handles, and seven sets of fine gold lettering spelling the words Nimbus 2001 gleamed under the Gryffindors' noses in the early morning sun.
"Very latest model. Only came out last month," said Flint carelessly, flicking a speck of dust from the end of his own. "I believe it outstrips the old 2000 series by a considerable amount. As for the old clean sweeps," he smiled nastily at Fred and George, who were both clutching clean sweep fives, "sweeps the board with them."
None of the Gryffindor team could think of anything to say for a moment. Malfoy was smirking so broadly his cold eyes were reduced to slits.
"Oh, look," said Flint, "a pitch invasion."
Ron and Hermione were crossing the grass to see what was going on.
"What's happening?" Ron asked Harry. "Why aren't you playing? And what's he doing here?"
He was looking at Malfoy, taking in his Slytherin Quidditch robes.
"I'm the new Slytherin Seeker, Weasley," said Malfoy smugly. "Everyone's just been admiring the brooms my father's bought our team."
Ron gaped open-mouthed at the seven superb broomsticks in front of him.
"Good, aren't they?" said Malfoy smoothly. "But perhaps the Gryffindor team will be able to raise some gold and get new brooms, too. You could raffle off those clean-sweep fives. I expect a museum would bid for them." The Slytherin team howled with laughter.
"At least no one on the Gryffindor team had to buy their way in," said Hermione sharply. "They got in on pure talent."
The smug look on Malfoy's face flickered.
"No one asked your opinion, you filthy little mudblood," he spat.
Harry knew at once that Malfoy had said something really bad. because there was an instant uproar at his words. Flint had to dive in front of Malfoy to stop Fred and George jumping on him. Alicia shrieked, "How dare you!" And Ron plunged his hand into his robes, pulled out his wand, yelling, "You'll pay for that one, Malfoy!" and pointed it furiously under Flint's arm at Malfoy's face. A loud bang echoed around the stadium, and a jet of green light shot out of the wrong end of Ron's wand, hitting him in the stomach and sending him reeling backwards onto the grass.
"Ron! Ron! Are you all right?"
squealed Hermione. Ron opened his mouth to speak, but no words came out. Instead, he gave an almighty belch, and several slugs dribbled out of his mouth onto his lap. The Slytherin team were paralysed with laughter. Flint was doubled up, hanging on to his new broomstick for support. Malfoy was on all fours, banging the ground with his fist. The Gryffindors were gathered around Ron, who kept belching large, glistening slugs. Nobody seemed to want to touch him. "We'd better get him to Hagrid's. It's nearest," said Harry to Hermione, who nodded bravely, and the pair of them pulled Ron up by the arms.
"What happened, Harry? What happened? Is he ill? But you can cure him, can't you?"
Colin had run down from his seat and was now dancing alongside them as they left the pitch. Ron gave a huge heave, and more slugs dribbled down his front.
"Ooh!"
said Colin, fascinated, and raising his camera.
"Can you hold him still, Harry?"
"Get out of the way, Colin," said Harry angrily. He and Hermione supported Ron out of the stadium and across the grounds towards the edge of the forest.
"Nearly there, Ron,"
said Hermione, as the gamekeeper's cabin came into view. "You'll be all right in a minute. Almost there." They were within 20 feet of Hagrid's house when the front door opened. But it wasn't Hagrid who emerged. Gilderoy Lockhart, wearing robes of palest mauve today, came striding out.
"Quick, behind here,"
Harry hissed, dragging Ron behind a nearby bush. Hermione followed, somewhat reluctantly.
"It's a simple matter if you know what you're doing," Lockhart was saying loudly to Hagrid. "If you need help, you know where I am. I'll let you have a copy of my book. I'm surprised you haven't already got one. I'll sign one tonight and send it over. Well, goodbye."
And he strode away towards the castle. Harry waited until Lockhart was out of sight, then pulled Ron out of the bush and up to Hagrid's front door. They knocked urgently. Hagrid appeared at once, looking very grumpy, but his expression brightened when he saw who it was.
"Been wondering when you'd come to see me. Come in, come in. Thought you might have been Professor Lockhart back again."
Harry and Hermione supported Ron over the threshold into the one-roomed cabin, which had an enormous bed in one corner, a fire crackling merrily in the other. Hagrid didn't seem perturbed by Ron's slug problem, which Harry hastily explained as he lowered Ron into a chair.
"Better out than in," he said cheerfully, plunking a large copper basin in front of him. "Get them all up, Ron."
"I don't think there's anything to do except wait for it to stop," said Hermione anxiously, watching Ron bend over the basin. "That's a difficult curse to work at the best of times, but with a broken wand—"
Hagrid was bustling around, making them tea. His boarhound, Fang, was slobbering over Harry. "What did Lockhart want with you, Hagrid?" Harry asked, scratching Fang's ears.
"Giving me advice on getting kelpies out of a well,"
growled Hagrid, moving a half-plucked rooster off his scrubbed table and setting down the teapot.
"Like I don't know. And banging on about some banshee he banished. If one word of it was true, I'll eat my kettle."
It was most unlike Hagrid to criticise a Hogwarts teacher, and Harry looked at him in surprise. Hermione, however, said in a voice somewhat higher than usual,
"I think you're being a bit unfair. Professor Dumbledore obviously thought he was the best man for the job."
"He was the only man for the job,"
said Hagrid, offering them a plate of treacle fudge, while Ron coughed squelchily into his basin.
"And I mean the only one. Getting very difficult to find anyone for the dark arts job. People aren't too keen to take it on, see? They're starting to think it's jinxed. No one's lasted long for a while now. So, tell me," said Hagrid, jerking his head at Ron, "who was he trying to curse?"
"Malfoy called Hermione something. It must have been really bad, because everyone went mad,"